Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Politically Speaking Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Chris McDaniel, a reporter with St. Louis Public Radio. Joining me in studio today is...
Jason Rosenbaum of the St. Louis Beacon.
And...
Joe Manis of the St. Louis Beacon.
And our special guest this week is...
Steve Ellman, St. Charles County Executive.
St. Charles County. Now, I can't speak for Joe or Jason, but I know, you know, me personally and, you know, my other coworkers here, you know, most of the time we don't cover a lot of St. Charles. So give us a little bit of an update. Who you are, what you've been doing.
Well, the county executive, of course, is the chief executive officer in the county. We're a charter county. Our charter is very much like St. Louis County charter. Mm-hmm. So my duties and responsibilities are pretty similar to Charlie Dooley's in St. Louis County. I work with Charlie and Mayor Slay a lot, along with some other county officials down East-West Gateway, talking about regional initiatives and regional problems and hopefully regional solutions.
As I kind of alluded to, the office of St. Charles County Executive, our St. Louis County Executive, is actually very powerful. You have great control over the budget, staffing of departments, all those sorts of things. You said you were joking that you have more power than even the almighty mayor of St. Louis City.
Well, but almighty. It's not enough. Like to paraphrase George Bush, who said this would be a lot easier if it were a dictatorship, just as long as I was a dictator.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the executive branch enforces all the county ordinances and state laws and whatnot, but we have a 7-person legislative branch mm-hmm. who makes the rules.
Which is all Republican now, if I'm not mistaken.
It has been for about 4 years.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners, I wanted to give them a little sense of your background because you are Republican. You were the former minority leader of the state Senate back when the Senate was in Democratic control back in the 90s. You used to play basketball with Nixon, correct?
And others.
you're part of that select crew of people who played basketball with the governor.
Yeah, I was just in the House of Representatives at the time, so I was smart enough to know you needed to pass the ball to the senators. I had no idea that one of them was going to be governor someday.
Yeah, because at the time, because Nixon was in the Senate. So you went into the House in the late 80s, correct?
Yeah, 88 I was elected, started in 89. 92 to 1,000 in the Senate, and actually served as floor leaders up in floor leader, Republican floor leader, up until 25 days before we took the majority. So I was the Moses of the Republican Party. I wandered in the wilderness for 12 years, but never saw the promised land.
Well, I'm shedding a tear for you right now. But I did want to ask you about your relationship with the governor. I know you sat next to him when he made his announcement about how he's essentially going to call a special session for Boeing. It seems like you two have a very good relationship. Has that translated at all for dividends for St. Charles County at all?
Well, I think the governor, obviously the most recent contact we had with the governor's office was a tornado. Mm-hmm. And he came mm-hmm. the next day and did all the things we asked him to do. I'm sure he would have done that for every other county as well. But it's nice when you have those personal relationships. And hopefully if we ever do get at odds over an issue, we'll be able to sit down and talk to each other and maybe come to some sort of conclusion.
Now, I hate to break up this relationship here, but I have to know who's better at basketball, you or the governor, or who was better at basketball.
Yeah, neither one of us is very good now.
I think Nixon's knees are completely shot now, so I'm not really sure he's good.
They've been replaced.
Now, I could be wrong on that. I might be hit by lightning by his spokespeople on that, but maybe the county executive have an advantage now, possibly.
Well, it would be ugly to get out there and play today. I was probably a better shooter and a better passer, and he had a great inside game, and liked to throw his weight around a little bit, and was known to throw a few elbows.
I heard that.
In his own way, he was quite effective as a player.
Absolutely.
He's a big Mizzou fan.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a shocker.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, a couple interesting things about getting off the basketball a little bit about St. Charles County is that, A, now it provides more votes than the city of St. Louis in most major elections. B, outside of Springfield, it's arguably the largest block of Republican votes, which is why back when George Bush was president, I remember in 2004, he did one of his last stops in the state in St. Charles. St. Charles has often been Rick Santorum when he was here trying to get the presidential nomination. He did a big thing in St. Charles County. I was there. But at the same time, there's a number of union leaders. We were just talking about this before this started, who live in St. Charles County. And a lot of the Boeing workers live in St. Charles County, which gives you kind of an unusual perspective on what's going on with the special session and what's going on with the debate over tax credits. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Well, first of all, let me say that we're working on the union leaders to try to turn them into Republicans.
Tim Green might be a challenge.
That may be. But I remember when I was in the Senate, they used to tell me that that my district had the third highest number of union members. So St. Charles County has always been kind of a blue collar county. We've got a lot more upscale housing now over the last 10 years or so, but it's nothing like other Republican strongholds like, for instance, West County.
Yes.
And I almost forgot your question. You wanted to get into the
Special session a bit, because we were talking before, is that you wrote a letter to the legislators, which was quoted extensively on the floor today by Senator Eric Schmidt.
Well, I can't believe it was quoted that extensively, because it wasn't very long. It was to Eric and also to Ann Zair, who's actually my state rep, who are the two sponsors of the various bills, and basically told them that when I was growing up in St. Charles, almost all my friends, their dads worked at Mack, and that there's still an awful lot of people in St. Charles County that now work at Boeing. And we need to do everything we can to keep those jobs we already have, and hopefully get some more on this new project.
What do you think of the proposal that is the general outlines of it, which is $150 million in tax credits?
Well, the thing I like best about it, from what I've been told, is that if the jobs aren't created, we don't pay the money.
Yeah, it's 2,000 over 10
so
years.
So it's a you know, basically, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, it isn't going to cost the state anything, and that's not always true, as you know, for many of the other economic development programs that are out there.
Well, you've been a big critic of TIFs. Do you want to
tax increment
Absolutely.
Financing?
Yeah, tax increment financing, which allows a city to go ahead and give away not only its future revenue, but the future revenue of the county, of the school districts, of the library district, and fire and ambulance districts, and everything else. Yeah, and I think there's an important distinction here. I'm very much opposed to government picking winners and losers. And East-West Gateway has done a study that has shown over the last 20 years, we've spent about $3.8 billion on these TIFs simply to move retail businesses around. And you can see the result of that if you drive by Northwest Plaza or Jamestown Mall or Crestwood Mall. And, you know, we spent a whole lot of money here just creating different places for people to shop. And developers have played one city off against another to try to track the TIF so that city then will get the tax revenue. My point is, wouldn't it have been nice if we had, over the last 20 years, spent that $3.8 billion attracting companies like Boeing to bring more jobs here? And so I see this as entirely different. And we're not simply moving the pieces around the game board here. We're not simply moving jobs from one part of the region to the other. We are moving from one state to the other, and in the perfect world, I guess that wouldn't happen. But given the way things are today, I think it's well worthwhile to make an attempt to get these jobs here in St. Louis, where we already have a trained workforce, who I think would do a great job for Boeing.
What do you think the chances of success are going to be? Obviously, the competition for this is fierce. There are a lot of other states who are vying for the 777X. Do you think Missouri has what it takes to get the job?
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's certainly not going to be easy, but I don't think we can afford not to try. And again, if nothing else, we need to do something that perhaps will protect the jobs that we already have. I remember not too long ago when Boeing had, 25,000
yes.
workers, and now
they're
down
15.
To 15. In fact, you know, my sister just retired from there a couple years ago, so I'm so I kind of got updates on, you know, what's going on there, and things are fine right now, but there's a lot of reason to be concerned about the future.
Yeah, because there's a number of the military aircraft that are being built there now are being phased out within the next few years.
Right.
And this is a commercial aircraft that they would be building, the
777X. Correct. Missouri's operations now are virtually entirely from the military arm. So getting part of the commercial business would be a big deal.
And let's remember who Boeing's competitor is in the commercial field. That's the European
Airbus,
which is heavily subsidized by, I assume, several of the governments in Europe. So they're in a competition here with other companies that are heavily subsidized. They are probably going to have to be subsidized to a certain extent to be competitive. And whether it's South Carolina or Alabama or Missouri, they're going to use their leverage to try to get as much of a subsidy as they can. And if they were wanting to build a new mall, I'd be 100% against them. But what they're talking about is bringing thousands of high-paying jobs.
Now, one of the things that some more conservative lawmakers have brought up is one thing that they think puts Missouri at a disadvantage to other states is that we haven't had or adopted quote-unquote right to work, which is shorthand for, and Joe can maybe explain this because I always forget.
Well, right to
it's
work.
It's hard to succinctly.
Right. I mean, right to work, the term basically would bar companies or unions who have gotten a majority of the workers to vote for union representation to require all of the workers in that plant
to make
or in
it
that,
a requisite for employment.
To make it requisite for employment or to pay the dues. They would have to, the union would have to try to get them to pay the dues, but they wouldn't have to. Whereas now, a company and a union can agree to that all the workers in that particular bargaining unit each have to pay at least the fee. Now, they can not pay the portion that goes for political purposes, but for the representation fee, they can automatically get that.
Okay. So thank you for explaining what that is for our listeners. Do you think that's going to be an issue here? I know that obviously some of your constituents who are members of unions probably don't want that, but do you think that'll make it an issue?
Joe, are you old enough to remember 78?
Yeah.
And so you remember this was on the ballot of Missouri,
yes.
And it was a rather bloody battle. I was still teaching school and not involved in politics.
Yeah, Kip Bond still talks about that.
Yeah, does he? Mm-hmm. And
he says it was a big mistake for
Republicans. I think you got to look at what's happened in Seattle with their union and look at the much better relationship that Boeing and St. Louis has had with theirs. But you're absolutely right. This is going to be part of the discussion. And if the Boeing officials think they're going to come to St. Louis and get the same sort of treatment they've gotten from the union up there, they won't be coming. Mm-hmm. But I have faith in the leadership of labor in this area. They're smart enough. They understand that. I think the trades have already offered to do triple shifts. That will expedite the building of the plant.
Which sounds exhausting, by the way, but I hope they're rotating people.
They'd be rotating people, but it's just
That was my terrible attempt at humor for
but
the day.
We've been doing 24/7 for the last 4 or 5 months on the Page Avenue extension out in St. Charles so we could get it in shape before the weather turned. So that we could continue to keep working on it. So it's not unprecedented, but it's the sort of thing that I think shows good faith by those folks. And you'll have to ask the Boeing people how important this is going
to
be.
Now, I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit to kind of regionalism, because that's kind of a buzzword now for various reasons.
And St. Charles is increasingly becoming a bigger player because of the population.
Absolutely. And I want to preface this by saying St. Charles is already kind of involved in a bunch of regional efforts, whether it be East-West Gateway, whether it be Great Rivers Greenway.
Lambert.
And Lambert International Airport. I want to get that out of the way first of all, because I don't want to give the impression that they're on an island somewhere. But when you talk with St. Louis City and St. Louis County officials, there is this growing friction or frustration among them that St. Charles hasn't bought into, say, Metro, the Zoo Museum District, Proposition P. They decided not to vote on that, the so-called arch tax. I'm sure you hear this all the time from officials. I kind of wanted to get your perspective on why St. Charles hasn't been involved in it and whether you think they should kind of buy into some of these regional taxing initiatives.
Well, you've already indicated we have bought into some. Again, the key word you just said is tax initiative. Mm-hmm. Can we do something that doesn't involve a tax increase and call it a regional project? I think we'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned we have more voters than St. Louis City. We've had more voters for a long time.
Right.
But we actually have more people now since the last census. And, yeah,
yes,
we're the second largest jurisdiction.
Correct.
And, you know, we voted on Metro years ago. It almost passed. It didn't. My prediction is, you know, someday, probably when gas gets to about $4 or $5 a gallon, there'll be interest in mass transit in St. Charles County.
I mean, so do you feel that as the county executive, you really can't push that since the voters voted it down?
Oh, we've done polling.
Okay.
And there's no doubt about it. There's not the sufficient support. 97% of the people in St. Charles County already have a car. Even if the cost of commuting gets extremely high and some people, you know, take the option of taking a bus to work, that bus isn't going to drive around the neighborhoods out in Wentzville.
Right.
You're still going to need a car to get to a bus stop. You're still going to need a car to get to a bus stop. It's not like the neighborhood we're in right now where the bus, you know, you can walk five or six blocks and catch a bus. That's just not going to be the way mass transit happens in St. Charles County, if it happens at all. We've got SCAT buses and we've got Oates buses for elderly,
right.
And I mean we do some things now to try to help that 3% that does not drive or doesn't have a car, but again, you know, as long as 97% have a car, and you know, as long as they're given the choice on whether to tax themselves for something else, I don't see it happening for a while.
Now, if St. Charles County voters, for example, had decided they could have voted on Proposition P, which is the arch tax, but the council didn't put it on the ballot for various reasons. I know you had a lot of misgivings about that.
I didn't have misgivings about the project.
Yeah.
I was concerned about the fact that TIF money was going to be taken out of that tax.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the reason it didn't go on the ballot is because the Great Rivers Greenway was not willing to take the money that's now being collected from St. Charles County and use it to pay for the election.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we had already had, and if you may remember, we had the whole extended debate about a smoking ordinance.
Yes.
Yes.
And we had already told the sponsor of that bill that we were not going to have a special election for smoking in April because it was too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were asking us to do is to do exactly that for the arch tax and then ask us to pay for it.
Do you think it would have passed? I get the impression that it's going to have a real hard time passing among St. Charles County residents for various reasons. Is that kind of your indication as well?
It'll take a real sell job. Yeah, I think it will. And we may still put it on.
Yeah.
The good news, I guess, is that the legislature, Senator Smith, did an amendment last year to go ahead and exempt the arts tax funds from TIFs. So people who are paying that money will see all of it go to the arch project and not see any of it diverted to various other development projects. If we put it on in November, then that's the same election we're already on. It won't involve any additional costs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's you know, that certain people are still discussing. Now, let me just generally say that what people don't understand, and you know, is that people in St. Charles County already contribute quite a bit to the tax base of St. Louis City and county, and specifically on buses. We had bus service out to Mid Rivers Mall 10 or 15 years ago. I think they made 7 trips a day. There weren't enough people to use it to continue it. So it was, you know, it's not like there's this great demand.
Would high-speed rail do better than buses, do you think, out there?
High-speed rail?
Yeah. Or just light rail?
Light rail? Way. The problem with light rail is that right now it goes as far as the airport.
Right.
So who's going to pay to take it from the airport to the river?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
I think if it was at the river, then it might work. But are the people in St. Charles going to have to pay to get it out to the river and then also into St. Charles County?
Right. What about the Zoo Museum District? That's one that's
Zoo Museum District,
touchy.
And what I was saying is, you know, a lot of people, I've been told that 40% of the sales tax at Chesterfield, in the various Chesterfield Bottoms business district, 40% of that tax is paid by people from St. Charles County.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And when they had the big openings of the malls out there, I happened to drive by and the line on the highway coming from the west was just as long as the line on the highway.
That does not surprise me at all, because St. Charles Countyans love a good outlet mall. But continue.
With regard to the Zoo Museum District, and I've suggested this for a long time, I think what they need to do is, you know, if you simply ask people in St. Charles to vote to tax themselves to support it, it's unfair now.
Right.
Okay. And it would be just a little less unfair then. Because we got Illinois, we've got other counties in Missouri, they still wouldn't be paying.
Right.
I don't understand why the Zoo Museum District doesn't simply establish
an entry fee.
They had an entry fee, then they could come to our council and myself and say, all right, your people are going to have to pay this amount, and we think there'll probably be about this many people come over. Would you like to go ahead and contribute so that your people can get in for the same price as the people who are paying taxes in St. Louis City and County? And I'd be glad to take that to our council, and then everybody, other counties could do the same thing if they wanted to.
Like Jeffco or like
Jeffco,
you know,
yeah,
others as well.
I mean, we've got a dedicated park tax.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't charge entry to any of our parks or any of our facilities, which unfortunately are nowhere near the quality of the ones in St. Louis County and City. And, you know, I think people in St. Charles definitely appreciate, especially the zoo with all of our young families. But so far I've heard nobody suggest anything like this. And, of course, we would be opposed to a tax if you still had half the people in the region not participating.
Why do you think they haven't, like, approached you about that? That surprises me that they haven't at least mentioned it, that say, hey, look, we're going to have to start having people outside the city and county pay a dollar or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think my guess is, and I don't know, but my guess is the tourism dollar is such a big part of it that they wouldn't want to do anything that would actually dissuade people from coming in from further reaches on summer vacation and things like that.
Have you done any sort of calculations on how much sales tax St. Charles County may be losing because of those two big malls that are now in St. Louis County, West St. Louis County? Do you have any sense on how much you're
losing? The initial impact was not that much, but it's so far we know what happened in August. We don't know what happened in September. So we're still holding our breath. The initial results, it's not that significant. But our problem is 61% of our budget is based on sales tax.
Well, in fact, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, is there any possibility where we could see – and I think there was one outlet mall. I think it's outside St. Charles County. Was it Warrenton?
Warrenton.
That one failed.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, could there be another war of outlet malls? Or there be one or two put in St. Charles County? Have you heard that?
Haven't heard of any coming to St. Charles County. The problem is that people in St. Charles, including myself, who grew up there, were used to going to St. Louis County and St. Louis City for a lot of things. I mean, you know, before we had Mid Rivers Mall, we went to Northwest Plaza and we come to the baseball games and the zoo and the other things we're talking about. Generally, people are not used to going the other direction. Hmm. So we have the exception might be Bass Pro. And for some reason, Bass Pro does very well, and I'm sure it gets a lot of people from St. Louis County to come out there. But generally, people in Bridgeton and Chesterfield, they're not used to getting in the car and driving to St. Charles County to shop. So the tax seems to flow in one direction. And again, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, we use facilities in St. Louis County and St. Louis City. And when I go to the baseball game 20 times a year, I pay a lot of sales tax to the city of St. Louis. And for that, I get hopefully a safe street to drive on and a secure parking lot to park in. And that's the way it works.
Do you think St. Charles is fairly represented, not just in the legislature, but also in Congress? Because your congressional representative is actually Blaine Luchtemeyer, who lives west of Jefferson City.
Is he your representative, or is it Ann Wagner?
Well, they kind of split.
Blaine is mine, but you know, that line just goes right through the middle of the county.
Yes.
And I think
you
need to get on a computer to figure out which district you're in. Yeah, I was very disappointed when the legislature drew those lines. I was hoping St. Charles County would be completely in one district or completely in the other. But if you want to look at it as the glass half full, we got two congressmen, and Ann's done a super job of reaching out not just to the people in her district, but all the people in St. Charles County. And Blaine does a good job, and he's got a great staff, and he's been around a lot. So I guess you could say we're better off because we got two.
You were actually involved in the Senate redistricting, if I'm not mistaken. I guess St. Charles is essentially split in half like it was last time. Mm-hmm. It's almost split into three, but that was actually thrown out because it was unconstitutional for whatever reason. I would assume that in 2020, because we're looking way into the future on the Politically Speaking podcast, maybe it will have encompass three senatorial districts as a population or something like that. But that's more of an observation.
Well, I hope if the whole region grows, that's going to be sure. That's going to be for sure.
What was your experience being on that commission, by the way? It was kind of a wild ride.
It was very difficult because the people in St. Louis, I don't think, appreciated all the demographic changes. They needed, I want to say it was 47,000 more people to justify keeping the same number of senators that they had before.
Yes.
And it was just a simple matter of demographics. The rest of the state had grown more than the city and county together.
Jane Cunningham's still furious about that.
Oh, I know she is. And I voted against it the first time we voted on it because of Jane. And I felt bad about it. But when you start doing the numbers, it was, there's still the same number of senators from the St. Louis region. There's just not the same number from St. Louis City and County. And that reflects what you've been talking about, just the fact that that the outer counties have grown so
because
much.
For example, St. Charles gained a bunch of House members.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of showcased how much population growth there was. And there's even a Democratic member from St. Charles, Bill Otto. So I guess it's diverse politically now.
Who most of his district is in St. Louis.
Yes,
County.
Including my grandfather's house. It's gerrymandered in, which I just think
is
hilarious.
That was the House people. I think we did a better job drawing some lines in the Senate redistricting than they did in the House. But that was an interesting experience. And I think the region has the same representation. It's just from different parts of the region.
Now, I guess before we sign off, I guess you have some issue to take with a sustainability study or grant of some sort.
Yeah, you want to talk about
it? Yeah, we're probably not going to have much time to get into that.
Go ahead.
I want to just give people a heads up that that's something they need to pay attention to.
Are you concerned about it?
Yeah, I'm concerned about it.
Explain what we're talking about.
There was $4.7 million in federal funds made available to do a study of sustainability in the St. Louis region. Now, Joe, I'm sure you remember the whole fight 15 years ago about urban sprawl.
Yes.
And my first concern was, well, you know, is this just going to be – is sustainability another term
for urban sprawl?
Urban sprawl. And the report does not go nearly as far as people did 15 years ago when they suggested growth boundaries. the legislature actually telling people you couldn't live in certain places. I think they've realized that that's probably not in the best spirit of American democracy. So they're not suggesting that anymore. But they still, this report still seems to say that we know best where people should live, and we should do our planning so that they live there. And my theory of government is people should live wherever they want to live, and their government should respond to their needs. We don't build new roads in St. Charles County to encourage people to move out there. In fact, they move out there and fight traffic for years until we can catch up and build the roads needed to serve them. So I think it's a basic philosophical difference from people, how they see the role of government. You know, is it to plan? Is it to tell people what's in their best interest? Is it to go ahead and serve people where they want to live? And, you know, in St. Charles County, we've had a lot of growth. But I tell people we have never spent a dime on advertising. We don't do anything try to get people to move to St. Charles County. And, in fact, a lot of our people out there, when they move out, they'd love to close the door and be the last one, because they show up when the people across the street want to go build a subdivision there, and they think it's just fine the way it is. So it's not like the people in St. Charles are in some sort of competition against the city of St. Louis to have more people. The problems are that people in St. Louis County and St. Louis City who used to be absolutely happy with the neighborhoods they lived in became unhappy with the neighborhoods they lived in and decided to move to St. Charles County. And quite frankly, one of the things we talk about every day is how are we going to make sure that they continue to be happy with the neighborhoods they have in St. Charles County and don't want to move to Lincoln or Warren County someday?
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing St. Charles County?
Not making some of the same mistakes that the older parts of the region made.
Can you elaborate on that briefly?
Well, I think, and I've said this for years, and not just since the recent transfer thing with the students. People move to St. Charles County for two reasons. It's not because they have great roads, because the roads aren't very great when they move out there. They move to St. Charles County for safe neighborhoods and good schools, okay? And if St. Charles County ever quits guaranteeing and providing safe neighborhoods and good schools, people will look to move somewhere else. And that's why, you know, when we see Riverview and we see Normandy, and you remember I was around for those battles as far back as 92.
Yes.
And, you know, nobody even thought. We talked about this transfer plan there, and people thought, well, you know, if the city of St. Louis becomes unaccredited, people will just move to St. Louis County, and they already got an involuntary transfer program. So really, you know, what's new? Nobody in 92 dreamed that Normandy and Riverview someday would be in the same situation as the city of St. Louis schools. And I guess right now nobody dreams that any school in St. Charles County would ever be in that situation. But 20 years from now, if we don't do something and we don't change the way we do things, that could happen. And that's what we spend a lot of time talking about, at least in our office. And there's not a whole lot we can do about schools under our charter. But what we can do, we do.
Now, one final question. You're up for re-election next year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on running for re-election?
Yes.
I ask this to every person. Do you expect to have opposition in the Republican primary or the Democratic
now
race?
This would be your third term, correct?
This would be my third term. It'd be the first time I was anywhere longer than 8 years.
But I guess my question is, do you expect to face
nobody has announced anything yet. But last time I went without opposition until the 4 o'clock on the last day, and somebody put their name on. So I'm sure that somebody will run.
So I guess we may be covering the hotly contested St. Charles County executive race along with the hotly contested St. Louis County executive race.
I hope not.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Do you have one last message as far as to the legislature as they're looking at this Boeing thing?
Well, it's generally, especially having been in the Senate, you know, the Senate is known for being the deliberative body. And it's unfortunate that we don't have more time to deliberate about this. But again, I think the safety net here is if no jobs, no money.
And I'll close this out here. You can read all of my stories at stlpublicradio.org. You can read all of Joe and Jason's stories at stlbeacon.org. You can follow me on Twitter at @CSMcDaniel. You can follow Jason on Twitter at
Jay Rosenbaum.
You can follow Joe on Twitter at
Jay Manis. It's J-M-A-N-N-I-E-S.
We'll be back next week. Until then, so long.